Hey everyone, today we're really going to dig deep into something that's been making waves lately: early cancer detection. We're talking about how catching those tricky cells early on can be a real game changer.
Absolutely, and we've got a great source to guide us through this, a book that's generating a lot of buzz. Early Detection: Catching Cancer When It Is Curable.
And joining us to break it all down is Gitte Petersen. She's a real pro in the world of biotech, so we're in good hands.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to dive in. This book really hits home the urgency of changing how we think about cancer, you know?
Right. It's not just about treating it after the fact, but getting ahead of it.
Hmm.
And speaking of urgency, the book starts off with this pretty alarming stat. Almost 2 million new cancer diagnoses every year, just in the U.S.
It's a staggering number, and sadly, it's on the rise. Especially concerning is the trend we're seeing among younger people and communities that often face healthcare disparities.
Yeah, that really underscores how widespread this issue is. It's like the book says, this is something that touches all of us, whether directly or through someone we know.
Exactly. And that's why this whole shift towards early intervention is so crucial. Imagine a world where a cancer diagnosis isn't this terrifying, life-altering event, but a bump in the road, something manageable.
I like the way you put that, a bump in the road. That's a much more hopeful image.
It is hopeful, and that's what early detection offers. Hope. The author drives this point home with a really powerful story about his own brother, Michael. He tragically passed away from brain cancer, but here's the heartbreaking part. It wasn't the cancer itself that took him. It was the brutal side effects of the chemo.
That's just heartbreaking. And it really highlights what's at stake here, right? It's not just about fighting a disease. It's about the toll that treatment can take.
You got it. And it's not just one family story, unfortunately. Millions face this reality every year.
So true. And that's where the economic side of things comes in, which the book delves into as well. It talks about a healthcare economist, Dr. Thomas Philipson, who found that early detection could save millions of lives.
Millions of lives saved, which translates to trillions with a T. Trillions of dollars in societal value. We're talking about a potential economic impact bigger than many countries' entire GDPs. And on top of that, early detection could boost those curability rates for many cancers to a mind-blowing 90%.
90%?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, that's practically a guaranteed cure.
It's huge. But, and this is a big but, the book doesn't shy away from the fact that access to these life-saving screenings isn't equal.
Oh, right. There's a real disparity issue there.
A big one. The book gives the example of Washington, D.C., even within the same city, you see stark disparities in breast cancer mortality rates.
Really?
Yeah. Black women in certain zip codes face a mortality rate 4 times higher than the city average. That's 4 times. It's a harsh example of how where you live and what resources you have access to can drastically impact your chances of early detection.
That's really disheartening, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's like we're talking about two different worlds, even within the same city. Are there any positive examples in all of this?
Absolutely. There's always room for optimism. The book talks about the Pap smear, you know, the test for cervical cancer.
Has everyone heard of that?
Well, it's a perfect example of how far we've come. It took decades for the Pap smear to be developed, accepted by the medical community, and then actually implemented on a large scale.
It's crazy how long things take sometimes, right?
I know. But the amazing thing is, today, thanks to the Pap smear, cervical cancer has been virtually eradicated.
That is a remarkable turnaround story. It shows that progress is possible, even if it's a slow burn. But let's face it, no medical test is perfect. What about the challenges of cancer screening?
You're hitting on a crucial point. The book dives into this inherent trade-off between a test's sensitivity and specificity. Sensitivity is all about catching every single true positive, no cancer slipping through the cracks. Specificity, on the other hand, is about avoiding those false alarms.
So a super sensitive test might flag everyone who actually has cancer, but it also might say some people have it when they don't. And I'm guessing those false positives aren't just a minor inconvenience.
You're telling me. They lead to a whole cascade of issues. Anxiety, unnecessary costs, potentially even risky follow-up procedures like biopsies. The book specifically mentions the struggles faced by companies like Grail that are on the forefront of developing pan-cancer screening tests.
Pan-cancer screening, what exactly is that?
Oh, it's super cool, actually. Instead of looking for just one type of cancer, like, say, breast cancer or lung cancer, these tests look for any kind of cancer in your body.
Wow. All with a single test.
One test to rule them all. Pretty futuristic, right? But as you can imagine, with something this broad, that false positive issue we talked about becomes even more of a factor.
That makes sense. More possibilities for things to get flagged, even if there's nothing to worry about.
Exactly. Grail's tests are really impressive. They can pick up cancer in 1 out of every 100 people.
That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It is. But think about the flip side. 99 out of those 100 people might end up going through all that stress and uncertainty of a false positive, even though they're perfectly healthy.
So it's not as simple as saying, hey, new tests, let's use them on everyone. There are these real-world complexities to consider. It seems like we need to put a lot more energy into refining these tests, making them even more accurate.
You're preaching to the choir. And you know what the book highlights? A huge roadblock: funding.
Really? I think this would be a top priority for research dollars.
You'd think so, right? But get this. The National Cancer Institute, they actually put way more money into treatment than prevention. Can you believe that?
Hold on, that seems kind of backwards, doesn't it?
Right.
We should be stopping cancer before it starts, not just playing catch-up after the fact.
Tell me about it. It's like waiting till your house is on fire before buying a fire extinguisher. The book makes this really sharp comparison. They talk about Keytruda, that late-stage cancer drug.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that one. It's one of those new immunotherapy drugs, isn't it?
That's the one. It's gotten a ton of hype, but here's the kicker. Keytruda, it's raking in billions of dollars, even though it only works for a small percentage of patients with late-stage cancer.
So let me get this straight. We're pouring money into a treatment that might not even work that well, while early detection, which could prevent the need for that treatment altogether, is getting chump change.
Pretty much sums it up. It really shows you where the priorities are, right? The economics of the healthcare system are kind of a mess.
No kidding. It's like we're focused on putting out the fire instead of preventing it in the first place.
A perfect analogy. But let's not get stuck in the weeds of the problem. Let's talk solutions. Let's say we do fix this funding problem. Where should that investment go? What does real innovation in early cancer detection actually look like?
Now you're talking. That's a $1 million question. Or should I say the $1 trillion question?
$1 trillion question for sure. And this is where our expert, Gitte Petersen, comes in. As a CEO in the biotech world, she's on the cutting edge of developing these new cancer diagnostic tools. So her perspective is super valuable here.
Okay, so what does Gitte see as the biggest areas of opportunity when it comes to innovation?
She zones in on 3 key areas. First up, risk stratification.
Risk stratification. Sounds kind of complicated.
It's actually pretty simple. We need to stop treating everyone the same when it comes to screening. Using age is the main factor, not cutting it anymore.
So we need to get better at figuring out who's actually at higher risk and tailor screening programs to them.
You got it. We've got to factor in genetics, family history, lifestyle choices, all that good stuff. It's about creating a personalized risk profile so we can be smarter about who gets screened and when.
Makes sense. Like, instead of giving everyone a one-size-fits-all life jacket, we figure out who needs the extra buoyancy and give them a stronger one.
Love the analogy. Gitte uses BRCA gene mutations as an example.
BRCA, those are the ones that increase your risk for breast and ovarian cancer. Right?
Those are the ones. If you know you've got these mutations, you can be way more proactive about screening, catching cancer super early when it's easiest to treat.
Okay, so that's smarter screening for higher risk folks. What's the second area?
Second area is all about access. We need these early detection tests to be available to everyone, not just a select few.
Because even the most amazing test in the world won't do much good if people can't afford it or if they live in a place where they can't get it.
100%.
It's like having that state-of-the-art fire station, but it's only in the wealthiest neighborhoods. What good is that?
You said it. And lastly, Gitte talks about the importance of treatment navigation. So let's say cancer is detected early. How do we make sure the patient is getting the most effective treatment possible with the fewest side effects? That's where this idea of treatment navigation comes in.
So it's not just about finding the cancer, it's about what happens after the diagnosis too.
Exactly. We've got these things called biomarkers, right? They're like little clues that can tell us a lot about a particular tumor, how aggressive it is, how it's likely to respond to different treatments. By using biomarkers, we can move away from that one-size-fits-all approach to treatment and tailor therapies to the individual patient.
So personalized medicine for cancer, that sounds promising.
It really is. It's about making treatment more effective and way less harsh on the patient.
Because, let's face it, chemo and radiation, they can really take a toll.
No doubt about it. And one more thing that I found super interesting about Gide's take on this. She really emphasizes lifestyle and environmental factors.
Oh, right. All those things we don't always think about when it comes to cancer.
Exactly. Gide connects the dots between our everyday choices, what we eat, how much we exercise, even the air we breathe, and our risk of developing cancer.
And those things can be tough to control, right?
They can be, which is why it's not just about individual responsibility, you know?
Right.
It's about advocating for safer environments, cleaner products, things like that.
So it's a collective effort. It's about changing the system, not just telling individuals to change their behavior.
100%. Gide talks about teaching her own kids healthy habits, setting a good example at home. She sees it as part of a much larger effort to create a world where cancer is less likely to develop in the first place.
It's a powerful reminder that we all have a role to play in this fight against cancer, even if it's just making healthier choices in our own lives. But it can feel pretty overwhelming. Where do we even start? It can feel like a mountain to climb, for sure. But what I appreciate about Gide's perspective is she's not just talking about the science, right? It's about taking action, empowering ourselves.
Totally. That's what's so refreshing about her message. She's deep in it, the labs, the research, the whole nine yards. But she also gets that individual action, using our voices to push for change. That matters too.
Yeah, it's that combination of hope and action that's so powerful. It'd be easy to get bogged down in the stats, the scary stuff, but Gide's optimism, it's kind of contagious.
For sure. And I think that's a big takeaway from this whole conversation. Yeah, we've covered some tough stuff. We've talked about the urgency, the disparities, the roadblocks in research, but ultimately, the message is one of hope.
Totally. It's not about being helpless in the face of this disease. We can make smart choices, be proactive about our health, and fight for better access to these incredible technologies that could save lives.
Right. And let's not forget about supporting the research itself, whether it's donating to a cause you believe in or even participating in a clinical trial. Every little bit helps get us closer to that future where cancer is no longer this terrifying death sentence.
Absolutely. Well said. As we wrap up our deep dive on early cancer detection, I want to leave you with a thought-provoking question that Gide poses in her commentary. In an age of increasingly personalized healthcare, what role can each of us play in pushing early detection forward and ensuring everyone, no matter who they are or where they live, has access to it?
It's a question worth asking ourselves, and it's a conversation we need to keep having, pushing for progress.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and take care of yourselves.